Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The show is about to begin. Hey, concert lovers, welcome to another episode of Concerts That Made Us. We've got another great episode for you this week. My guest is Stefano from the Cappuccino at Six podcast. So if you've ever wondered what it's like to go to a concert in Italy, this is the episode for you. Now, before we get into it, as always, find us and follow us on social media. Just search for Concerts That Made Us podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and at Concerts Us on Twitter. And I'd really love it if you could rate and review us on Apple. It really does help the show grow. And as I mentioned last week, we're now part of the TKOK podcast network. So make sure you check out the other shows on the network. There's The New Dad Pod, Pop Mom's Podcast, Eat God, See Acid, and The Movie Club. And I know The Movie Club released their first episode this week, and it really is a good one. So make sure you check it out. The last thing before I let you get into the episode, I just want to give out a shout out to Gil at the Mind Buzz podcast. We connected a while ago and he really is a great guy. A truly nice guy, you know. He even helped me out with an issue I was having with the audio of one of my episodes. But his podcast is really, really cool. It's so chill and laid back. It's called the Mind Buzz podcast. It's based around mind culture and expanding your mind, but they let the conversation take them wherever it leads. So, with that out of the way, let's get on with the show. Hey, Stefano. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. Glad to have you. So for the listeners that don't know, would you like to tell us a bit about your show?
Yeah. So my show is called Cappuccino at Six, with the at sign, like the email. And we're pretty recent. We launched back in October of 2020. We don't have a main focus. We just do interviews or talk about whatever we want. We have episodes. Since we are Italian, and by we, I mean myself and my co-host, we live in Italy, we're Italian, so we do episodes in Italian and in English. They are not the same thing, like we don't translate, they're completely different episodes. So that's basically it.
Oh, cool. So what would some of the topics you've covered so far be?
Well, most of the times I just scroll through Reddit or Instagram and look for interesting guests and maybe try to find something that can relate to me. So for instance, since tonight we're talking about music, I made a really cool episode that came out a few weeks ago with a punk rock band. And
oh, cool.
We discussed so far politics, foreign countries. Of course, when I talk, yeah, especially to American people, they were always curious about Italy and also people from all over the world. And we spoke with a journalist, we spoke with other podcasters, so a lot of different people.
Oh, sounds cool. Sounds very entertaining. It sounds like you have something for everyone.
Yeah, as long as I have a clue of what we're talking about, because I don't think I could speak with an architect or with, I don't know, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah,
I have some kind of connection with the topic that I'm going to discuss.
Yeah. Oh, I getcha. So you're obviously on Instagram, Facebook, all the socials, are you?
We're not on Facebook because that's for boomers. Okay. And also, no, I'm kidding. But no, we don't have Facebook account. We do have Instagram, and the handle is Cappuccino86. in number.
Perfect. Perfect. I'll put a link in the show notes anyway for the listeners to find you. So will we get started on your music interests? So,
yep.
Okay. So, how would you define your music taste?
Okay, so I grew up listening mostly to punk music.
Okay.
And then it all evolved into rock and metal, and now, gotta say, recently it's not been a long time that I'm looking outside of the metal spectrum as well. But 90% of the stuff I listen to is metal, and then we have maybe electronic music, but mostly mixed with metal. And I really like when other genres mix with metal, you know, to create something unique, something different. And I especially like that kind of music that you don't really know where it's heading to. Like, it's not predictable. I'm talking, of course, about
exactly
progressive music, you know, progressive metal and so on, that
yeah.
you can listen to over and over again and still don't remember how they sound like.
Yeah, I get you. So what would your earliest musical memory be then?
Earliest musical memory, that's a, wow. So, okay, I remember when MTV was a music channel.
I love how people nowadays say that. I remember when it was a music channel. it's true though.
Yeah, it was like, 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old, and I remember watching MTV all the time. So I fell in love with the early 2000s rock music, Green Day,
yeah.
and the Rasmus, and Linkin Park, Nickelback. Everything MTV was putting on.
Yeah.
Also, I remember I got a CD for my birthday, I believe it was in 2003, maybe. Yeah, it was like seven. From an Italian rapper named Caparezza, which has nothing to do with metal, or little to do with metal, but his lyrics are, of course, you have to be Italian to know them, but to know what he's talking about. But his lyrics are something unbelievable, like truly unique, that I still love to this day. I still listen to him.
Really?
Yep.
And is he still around today?
Yeah, he is. He put out a great album a few years ago, and I really hope he can make another one soon, because he always finds a way to make things original. And as you may know by now, I really like this kind of feeling that you have where you don't know what you're listening to.
Yeah, I get you. Sometimes that's actually some of the best music too. To listen to, especially when you're just after discovering it, you know.
Yeah, that's the kind of music that maybe you know, you put Spotify in shuffle mode or Discover Weekly, or maybe you're scrolling through YouTube, and it's the kind of things that stuck.
Exactly, you'll always come across a hidden gem.
Exactly.
So, what was your very first concert you were at?
Okay. 21st of July 2014. So I was just turned 18 by then. And I don't know actually how I got into that concert, because it's something that I decided suddenly a few months prior to that, because back in early 2014, maybe late 2013, I discovered this cool song on some website called The Enemy Inside by Dream Theater. I had no idea who Dream Theater was.
And right.
I was really, really caught by that, you know, and loved that song. Then I saw they were about to make some shows in Italy. They already made 4 dates in early 2014, but I didn't have, of course, the time to book the tickets, or even I don't think I even had the idea to go seeing them. And then I saw they made other 3 dates that summer. I said, okay, it's my chance. Let's go. And one of them was in Brescia, which is a city in the north, not too far away from where I lived. So it takes just a couple of hours by train. And so I went there. And yeah, that was an amazing concert. That's all I can say. 3.5 hours, because it's Dream Theater. So their songs are quite long. And
sounds like a good introduction to concerts for you anyway.
Also I was in the front row, and I went by myself, and on my way on when I got there, there were this bunch of guys around my age, so we started hanging around together. And some of them questioned the staff that was organizing all the thing, because it was a concert in the open, in the main square of Brescia, beautiful square, one of the most beautiful squares that you can find in a city like that. And so they were trying to know where is the entrance, because we didn't know where the entrance was, and no one knew where the entrance was. Otherwise, everyone would have gathered, around there waiting for the concert. And somehow we got the info, so I was in the front row. It was amazing. Also had fear for the concert to be delayed or canceled due to rain. And fortunately, it didn't rain that much. And started at maybe 8:30, something like that, and ended up by midnight. So when my hotel room
went late enough.
My hotel room completely destroyed. One of the best experiences of my life.
What are concerts actually like in Italy? Do you get the big festivals that, I've been speaking to some people from America, and they get the big heavy metal festivals where there could be 5 or 6 major bands playing at the one time, like it could be Marilyn Manson, Metallica, Disturbed, whereas as opposed to here in Ireland, we'd only get a concert that's Metallica or on their own, there'd be no other big band playing with them. What's it like in Italy?
I guess it's more like in Ireland that you don't have really big concert with many bands. There are a couple of big ones, like I remember in Florence, they have, I think, a big concert with many important names, but it's mostly rock, not focused on metal music, because metal music is not that popular here. You have to go north in Germany, Denmark. Even when some really cool American metal bands come to Europe, they only visit Germany and France and maybe Czech Republic and Poland, because that's
I've noticed when, that
and Sweden, of course, and Norway, where people listen to heavy metal. There are more people that listen to heavy metal. We are, unfortunately for me, we are not a really metal country.
Ireland is it'd be very similar, so it's more so pop would be the mainstream thing, and not as many people would listen to rock or metal. Then for some reason, whenever there is a big rock concert, you find loads of people jumping on the bandwagon, and just going. So what song would you like to dedicate to the memory of your first concert?
I was really undecided. It's really hard to pick one that I listened to on this concert, but my pick was is C9 Finally Free, because there were 2 anniversaries that year. Okay.
Right.
2014 marked the 20th anniversary of the album Awake, an amazing masterpiece by Dream Theater, one of the heaviest records they put out. And also the 15th anniversary of maybe their most famous album, which is Scenes from Memory. And that song that we're about to listen is the very last song they played on the concert. So almost carried on through midnight, and it's really long. It's and the old crowd was singing the refrain, the chorus. Okay.
Okay.
So that's the most marked, the brightest memory that I have. I was singing along with all these folks I met.
We'll take a listen to it. So, right, that sounds like a pretty great song. I haven't actually heard too much of their stuff, but I'm definitely going to check them out now after the show.
Yeah, may want to try their earlier albums. Maybe they're more original, like it can really get you.
Yeah.
They put out two, yeah. Especially the second to last album is not at all great. Like, it's quite normal. It's quite low energy of them. Even the last one is not that much of a masterpiece. But
right. I think every band or every musician goes through that phase to have their greats and then to have their misses. You know, the ones that just aren't.
Yeah,
that
I
great.
Guess it's normal after 30 years of great music. They're humans.
Exactly.
You know, they can fail sometimes. And they're not bad.
They
they're not
right
bad. They're just quite disappointing, I would argue.
Yeah. I get you. So we'll move on to the last concert you were at. So.
Yeah, and it's quite scary to look back at it because it was early December of 2019. We had COVID running around and no one knew about COVID. And
yeah, actually.
You know that Italy was the very first country struck by COVID after China.
Yeah.
And we had the first major outbreaks.
Very bad.
And especially the north and the area where I live and where I went to that concert was one of the very first areas that was put in lockdown due to COVID.
Oh my goodness.
So if I think back at it, okay, I might have caught COVID in that, and maybe it was with no symptoms, so I didn't realize that. But so it was so packed with people, and almost front row there as well, and quite able to sneak out and get. So the concert was by Ghost and also two side bands, two openers that played with them. One was, what's it called? I don't remember the other bands. I'm sorry. And
I actually, the second last concert I was at was Ghost as well. And it's all right. I can't remember who the other bands were either.
Anyway, so it was early December. It was the city of Mantova. Again, really close to where I live. By the way, the only Italian date they do, it's basically at less than an hour from where I live. So how could I miss that? And also...
Yeah, exactly.
Also, Ghost is one of the few links that I have with my girlfriend in terms of music taste.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we don't share that much. When it comes to music taste, but Ghost is something that puts us together, and we can take a listen to that.
Okay.
And it was the only concert that I went with someone else. In this case, my girlfriend. So
really,
yeah. And again, another amazing concert. A lot of show. You know, I mean, you've watched them, so.
Yeah, it's to put on a great stage show. It's very dramatic, and you know, it's you don't just go there for the music. It's all about the visual aspect of it as well.
Costumes, Tobias Forge being a complete jerk on stage and joking. And
yeah.
Fire. I don't know if they did that when you saw them, but they also they throw fake banknotes with $666 banknotes, and I got two or three of them. One of them is here. I framed one of them, And another one, I put it on my wall. So I have two $666.
Oh, that's awesome.
Banknotes.
How did you actually get into Ghost? Or how did you discover them?
Again, with the website. I used to follow a few websites that, you know, track all the new releases. And
yeah,
I had the chance to listen to Square Hammer the day
yeah
got on air, and I fell in love with that song.
It's a really great song.
It is amazing. It really it's one is. Of those songs that okay, I'm not a musician. I know nothing about music. I could say completely bonkers things, okay, complete untrue.
Right.
But it's one of those songs that from the start to the end, it starts, you know, pumping and jackhammering and never gives up. You know, it's takes you and never leaves. There are many, many songs like that, of course. But I'm thinking about, do you know Lila by Oasis? I feel like it has the same feeling, that it starts and it takes you and it flips you and never has a pause, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's 0 to 60 as soon as it starts, and it just doesn't give up.
Absolutely. So that's where I fell in love with Ghost. And you know, there's a meme that circles around the internet, which is when people say, "Oh, Slipknot is not a real metal band," and all the fans go, "Oh, why'd you say that? You asshole! Oh, it is a metal band. I love Slipknot." And then below that, it's, "Oh, Ghost is not a real metal band," and the fans go, "We know, we know, we don't care, we love them." That's and I picked Dance Macabre because it's the it's one of our favorite songs, me and my girlfriend's. And also the last one or second to last they played live in Mantova.
It was the same for us. I think they finished with Rats, maybe.
Probably, Dance probably.
Macabre was the second last. We'll take a listen. I absolutely love that song. I've been looking for an excuse to play it on the show. I was hoping someone would say that they were at a Ghost concert.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So we'll have to, I don't want to bring up any bad memories now, but we need to talk about the worst concert you've ever been to.
Okay. It wasn't a bad concert, okay, overall. I've not been to that many concerts to have many bad experiences. I would argue it was the less, the concert that I remember less, okay. And it was in Milan, and it was by Slipknot. And I just don't remember that much. You know, they had an opener. King 8110 opened, and I'm not really into that kind of music, you know, that kind of new metal-ish, Korn-like music. And it's just not my thing. I don't know why I love Slipknot, though, because I don't think... But back in time, they just put out the Great Chapter album, and it had some really, really cool song on it, like Custer, one of my favorite. And the song that we're going to listen to. And the thing was that I wasn't close to the stage. I was up, you know, in the rows and
in the stands.
In the stands, exactly. And so I didn't have the chance to take a big look at Corey Taylor's and the other members. It was a good show overall, but I had to leave earlier than you. To leave the concert earlier because I had the train. And I didn't book a hotel room that time. So also, one not so funny episode that happened. So I was heading back from the location of the concert to the to the subway. I had to take the subway to then go to the train station. And there was this lady behind me, and I had my ticket and put the ticket in the machine to pass the gates. And this lady was really close to me, behind me, and passed without having a ticket. And I was like, what are you doing? Right. And she said, thank you. Okay. This stuff happens, you know, around midnight.
Yeah.
Subway stations.
Yeah.
And then I spent the whole night in another city, waiting for the other train that would have taken me to my hometown. So I spent the whole night in a train station. It wasn't, I knew I was going to do that, but it wasn't that that good, you know, staying awake all night.
Yeah, and you'd be probably very uneasy, a bit scared, you know, not familiar with your surroundings, and worried that something would happen if you let your guard down.
Yeah, at another concert, I also spent the night at the train station, but I met a homeless guy who was trying to change his life, you know, try to escape.
Oh, really?
I think he had just gotten out of a marriage and was just divorced, and he lost everything due to that. So I met him. We discussed. He was into rock music as well. So we had some, you know, topics to talk about. And then I offered him a coffee, and he was so nice to talk with him. So that was a really cool night, actually. That time around, after Slipknot, just a boring, lame 4 to 5 hours wait for the train. And also, I remember I went on the wrong train as well, because I didn't realize that there were different platforms. You know, there was a different platforms for weekdays and weekends. So I went into the wrong train, because I really needed to go to the bathroom. And so I went there, did my thing, and then just sat there waiting for the train to start. A guy saw me and said, "Yeah, this train doesn't go anywhere. It's so, you know." So I had to catch the right train after that. It's just not a boring night. That's what I can call it. You know?
Yeah, yeah. You're just sitting there watching the clock.
Absolutely. At one time I said during that night, you know what? I'm just going to spend 45 minutes and listen to Behold, a song by Dream Theater. What's his name? 6 Degrees of Inner Turbulence. But I couldn't get through it, you know, because it's just waiting.
Yeah. Oh man, I've never actually had an experience like that from a concert. I've had a couple of concerts I couldn't make it, all right, but I've luckily never had to wait around for 5 or 6 hours after a concert.
You don't want to try it. It's not worth it.
When was the Slipknot concert?
February of 2015. Yeah.
Oh.
I was 19, but they wouldn't let me drive to Milan. It's not really safe.
Oh, so yeah.
It was a long trip, and also in such a big city. And I mean, they were. I didn't even ask to drive to Milan. I could have, but I didn't even ask, because I knew it would have been so bad to drive to such a big city.
Yeah, I remember when I started driving first as well. It took a few years before I drove to Dublin, even, because the traffic layout and everything up there, it's very intimidating. You really have to do it a good few times before you're used to it. And then, of course, driving around at nighttime there wouldn't be the nicest thing to be doing.
Absolutely.
So what song are we going to listen to from Slipknot then?
Custer, out of perfect. The great chapter. I really like the the chorus and the instrumental part of the chorus, but they, you know, they have a drummer and two people that play other kind of drums, and in that song everyone is synced and they hit the drums harder than they can for the whole chorus. I think it's cool. I think it's a cool solution to make a really aggressive sound.
Yeah. It's pretty great. All right. We'll take a listen. So I always love a bit of Slipknot. You can't go wrong with them.
It's one of those bands that really made history.
They did. They're one of the iconic bands for their genre.
They will be remembered. When you think of the early 2000s, think of metal, you think of Slipknot, you think of course of many other bands, but I'm sad that Strapping Young Lad isn't mentioned, because they are even heavier and they should deserve way more attention than Slipknot, in my completely honest opinion and personal opinion. But Slipknot is fine. They made really good albums. They made really good songs. So they deserve what they picked up throughout their career.
Yeah. What do you think of Corey Taylor's other band, Stone Sour?
I listened to some of his songs. He's talented. You know, he's talented. So he doesn't feel like he's not in the right place when he plays with Stone Sour, I think. I think he's a good side project. It's not really my thing, but every now and then, if it happens on my Spotify, I listen to them, and it's fine, you know.
Yeah. He's I suppose it shows how versatile he is.
Yep.
We'll move on to your best concert you've ever been to. So.
Now, this wasn't a proper concert, but
okay.
I didn't want to put too many, you know, really known songs on the playlist. And I feel like they really deserve a shout out because they are such a great band. So I didn't pick Black Sabbath, although I saw Black Sabbath live, probably their last concert in Italy in 2016. It was amazing. And so I could have picked them, but I didn't. And instead, I picked The Sit, which... is a Italian / Scottish band, and at least I know that one of the members is Scottish or half Scottish, and they play folk music mixed with electronics, and
that sounds interesting.
With EDM, you know, and I saw them by chance. Like, I didn't even know they were playing, because I went to this Celtic festival. They have here around every summer. Of course, not the last summer due to COVID. But so when there, I think it was 2019 probably, and one of my friends was there and said, "Oh, do you know that The Sid is playing?" "Who?" The Sid is a... they're quite famous. They do a world tour. They just played in... They are about to play in China as well. They must be known. He said, how many bands do you know? How many Italian bands do you know that take this world tours?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. There's not too many bands that do that. I can think of Lacuna Coil. I can think of maybe..."
Yeah.
Rhapsody of Fire, they're Italian. And I couldn't mention any more, you know, bands, and not talking about singers, but real bands that do world tours and are based in Italy. So, okay, let's check them out. And we weren't even in the front row. We were at the side of the stage, like in the right side of the stage, and... with our arms on the stage, basically. So we took a really close look to it. And, okay, I really love folk music. And I love bands such as Elvetti. And I didn't expect that EDM mixed with folk music would sound that great.
It doesn't, when you see it written down on paper, it doesn't sound that great. It doesn't seem like it'd work.
It's so catchy. I have a weakness for catchy things, okay? I admit that. When some catchy stuff comes up and can get off of my head, and I just start loving it. So maybe it's my weakness, but they are really talented, and I think they deserve way more attention and should take world tours more often.
Yeah. They sound like they deserve more recognition anyway.
Absolutely.
There can't be too many other bands that are folk mixed with EDM.
I can't name any of them. I don't know if you can, but...
No, not off the top of my head anyway. I think I'd really need to go search them for one.
There are people that mix, you know, EDM with other genre, of course, metal, of course.
Yeah.
I can think of Lindsay Stirling. With her violin, she's really talented. But
yeah,
folk music and EDM, it's something that struck me as completely new and original. But they also have some kind of rock vibe, because I mean, it's your regular band with a guitar player, a bass player, and someone who plays not really drums, but like. Has his sticks and little drums, and he's also a DJ, and they have the guy who plays the bagpipe or the flute. So they can add also some kind of rock vibe, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Oh, sounds good. So which one of their songs have you chosen to play?
I thought of Shake That Bagpipe. Feels... It feels like can fit the our playlist tonight. Because as I said, this is catchy as hell.
Right.
And starts with the piano, and then moves to the flute, and then the bagpipe, and every second of that song is catchy.
Right. We'll take a listen. So you're right. It really is catchy.
Isn't it?
It actually is. But again, another one I'm going to be looking at after the show.
I'm glad to help.
No problem. I'm starting, the more shows I do or more episodes I do, I'm starting to feel like this is a selfish little side project, because I'm just discovering new music I can listen to.
Well, for that, you can just start a YouTube channel and say, I react to something, and all the people will listen.
Yeah.
In that kind of world, which, I mean, it's cool, because it's always cool to see people reacting to things, you know.
Yeah.
But I feel sometimes it's kind of cringeworthy, and I don't know, I feel like we metalheads have this strong sense of community where we must share our love for music with everyone. So even to someone who's clearly not into metal music, they start, oh, try to react to Pantera or to Metallica. Or, okay.
Yeah.
You see that all over the internet.
Yeah, you really do. You really do. Well, that concludes our concert section of the episode anyway. We'll move on to slightly more personal questions.
Let's go. I'm down for it.
So if you could see any performer that's living or dead, who would it be?
That is a question which will have different answers if you ask me today, tomorrow, in a month, in a year. So,
okay. Or
back in the days, because right now, I want it. Okay, right now, my favorite band is probably Periphery.
Okay.
And I wanted to see them live. They were playing, again, it's one of those bands that won't come to Italy when they do a European tour.
Right.
So that's disappointing. And I wanted to go seeing their concert in Munich, in Germany.
Right.
But in the end, I decided to save money and instead go to see Ghost. You know, it's way cheaper.
Yeah.
And didn't have to book a room. I didn't have to pay for the really expensive train ticket to get to Munich from here. But
Yeah.
so they're just great. I mean, what they did, it's one of those bands that never disappointed in me in their entire career. They put out, I think, six records, all of them amazing.
Right.
When I have to pick a username for some social media, some
Yeah.
services that I log into, I tend to pick song titles. And so
Okay.
on Discord, my handle is All New Materials, which, I mean, again, it makes no sense for a username to be like that, but
Well, it is unique.
it is unique, and it's one of Periphery's songs. And again, another one of those that starts and pick you up and never let you go until the end, with no pause. With and also they're really, really, how can I say that? Really unpredictable. This is
Right.
progressive gent metal 101. And their latest album, which came out in 2019, I think, was one of the best albums I've ever listened to in my entire life.
Really?
Also, I don't know if I like that aspect or if I hate it, but they are really ironic. So
Okay.
their last album is called Hail Stan, not Hail Satan, Hail Stan. Stan Lee just passed away, so they
Right.
decided to call it Hail Stan. But the songs are actually really cool. And but again, the last song, it's called Satellites, 9 minutes. It starts slowly and then builds up
Yeah.
and ends with a massive growling and heavy guitars in the background. It's another great song. It ends, it's the end of the record, and out of nowhere, there's Suck My Balls in the end. Like, why? Why do you have to do
Right.
that? I don't know if I love it or if I hate it. Anyway, it's definitely one of my top three bands in this moment. Is it has been for I guess a couple of years now, and I
Right.
can never skip a song by them when I run, when I program, because I'm a web developer, and so
Right.
we are lucky enough to have the chance to listen to music when we work, when we program.
Yeah.
It's one of those bands that I never skip, and every time
Oh.
it's something completely different. And the song I chose, it's called Have a Blast, has
Right.
this particular. Now, again, I'm not a musician, but I really like to spot particular moments in a song that make me feel goosebumps. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not that simple. I mean, I'm not that kind of guy that just puts up whatever Spotify, you know, proposes, and it's fine.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So there's a part in this song called Have a Blast, again, some kind of ironic title, and which starts really heavy, with a lot of growling, and then you have a clean vocals over a really heavy guitar, and he says, "It's the thrill of life that enables us to flow." And I have the sentence written everywhere on the internet, where there's my profile, there's that sentence. I really think it is a great lyric. You know, the
It
thrill of
is.
life that
It's.
enables some kind of even ICT term that we use, enables to flow.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just love that song and that quote.
Yeah, that sounds like a very cool quote. You could see it. You could actually, as you said, you have it all over the internet, but you could see it as a tattoo, or you could see it, graffitied on a wall somewhere. It's just one of them quotes that sticks out.
And as I said, there are not many moments that make me feel goosebumps. One of them is that moment. I don't know how long into the song, but it's quite early in the song. So, don't skip it, you listeners. Don't skip it. And also, one of the other songs that I could have picked, maybe would have been something by Liquid Tension Experiment. They made this song called Acid Rain. It's quite an old song, talking about early 2000s, maybe late 90s, and has the power to make me headbang with the keyboards. Okay.
Okay, that
That's the
sounds
kind of
interesting.
vibe that I feel with Acid Rain, with me, also Erotomania by Dream Theater, with that song, with those songs, sorry, that you just wait for that moment.
Yeah, I get you. I get you. We'll take a listen to that song so, and we'll see if the listeners get goosebumps as well.
I hope so.
You're right, that really is a great song. I'm really loving all these song choices you have tonight.
I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, you do. It's really good. It's going to be an entertaining show.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned because it's not over.
Exactly. So, which performer would you like to be locked in a room with for 24 hours and try to keep it clean?
Yeah, no problem with that. Okay, I'm quite a nerd, and so I had to pick someone who's maybe, well, not maybe, but definitely even more nerd than I am. So my choice is Remy Gallego, which is the mind behind the algorithm. Now, the algorithm is a French project, a French band led by this guy, and mixes heavy metal with EDM again, another one of those genres where metal is polluted with some completely different genre, and it turns out to be great. And what I really love about the algorithm is that all the songs have a title related to the computers and technology. So
Oh,
yeah,
really?
the most famous songs are Trojans, out sorry, pointers. Then you have a synthesizer, Pythagoras. So, just to name a few great songs that everyone should listen to, Floating Point, Hex. So, I really love that. I discovered them on Spotify on the recommended, playlist that they put out. And I mean, programming with this kind of music in the background feels like programming under steroids,
It sounds like a match made in heaven.
Absolutely. Match made in heaven, by the way, great song by The Architects. Close parenthesis. But yeah, so I could stay maybe a day with him and looking and preparing what he does, with his PC and all the sounds that he creates. And I would have many, many questions to ask
I could
about the
imagine.
programming world and about his music world and project.
Just trying to get inside his head, see how what the process is for him.
I would probably see flow charts, but that's even my head, when I work.
It sounds like a really interesting guy.
Okay, so the song is called Octopus 4, and I could have picked any song by the algorithm because it's they're all great equally. But Octopus 4 is particularly interesting because it has a really strong build up. a really long and strong buildup, and then abruptly ends, and then you have a segment of maybe jazzy elevator style music, which is really catchy again, and it carries on the song until maybe 7-8 minutes long, and it's really cool when you hear all those complicated sounds that blend together and create such a gigantic buildup, and then it all flows into a really relaxed elevator-like music, as I said.
Oh, sounds kind of unexpected as well. You wouldn't be expecting it to just flow into elevator-like music.
That's what makes me love that song even more.
I can't wait to hear it. We'll give it a listen. Yet again, another great song.
Can't argue with that.
I didn't think you would. So this brings us to the final question of the night. Some guests in the past have said it's the most difficult question they've been asked. But what song would appear on the soundtrack to your life?
Okay. By the way, soundtrack of my life is a thing that I recorded recently for my show. So if something comes out in Cappuccino at 6 and you see soundtrack of my life, don't worry, I didn't steal it from you. It's already recorded. I'm editing it as we're recording. I'm editing the episode and it will be out on February the 20th, I believe. So
no problem.
I didn't steal it. Okay. And okay, I remember that when I was a kid, there was this channel called Rock TV, and sometimes, you know, it took a listen. They put up all this metal, rock and metal music. And there was a program, you know, a particular section during the day, and they called it Italians Do It Better. And at the time, I was like, no, we don't. Metal music is not for Italians. Like,
yeah,
it's not something, it's never, it's not going to happen, you know? So I never really listened to Italian music and rock music and metal music coming from Italy.
Yeah.
Then I discovered some really good bands. As I mentioned, The Seed, I could mention Disarmonia Mundi, I could mention other. And okay, so last year, it was during the lockdown, we were for 3 months here in Italy in a complete and total lockdown from March to till the end of May, roughly. And so I was working from home, and in the meantime, I was listening to one of the most famous and one of the best, in my opinion, journalists that we have in Italy. And he's called Andrea Scanzi. And in his live streams, he always put up some rock songs or some Italian classic songs before he started talking. And I remember one day he was really pissed off and really angry for some things that, you know, someone made. He's a political journalist. So I don't remember the exact, maybe it was during the April 25th celebrations that, you know, some right-wing parties said trash about, you know, the people that were fighting Nazis, and so it's really kind of a mess. So he was really angry at those neo-Nazis and etc. So he said, you know, today I'm mad, and I need a really mad song to start with. And he put up this song that I never heard of, and I was suddenly headbanging in my room. what is this absolute unit of a song, like this bomb that he threw?
Yeah.
And so I rushed to pick my phone and open Shazam, you know, to know what the song was. And the result was Forma e Sostanza by CSI, which is the acronym for Consorzio Suonatori Indipendenti, literally translated into Independent Musicians Consortium. Okay. Which is a really weird title, a really weird band name.
It is, yeah.
And so I discovered them. And again, this is sort of a fil rouge to my playlist. This is a song that even more than any other song that I've ever listened, starts and jackhammers till the end, which with a bass line and a guitar riff that is so heavy in its context, because we're not talking about heavy metal. It's
right.
It's your regular progressive rock that you could listen to maybe with Deep Purple, with what's that band name? Dire Straits.
Yes.
Led Zeppelin. You know, it's that kind of music, but it's so heavy within its context, and absolutely love it. Now, CSI or CSI, to say it the Italian way, it's really interesting project. They were formed after the disbandment of the previous band with the same singers, you know, some members, which was called CCCP, which I don't know if you know that, but CCCP was also the acronym for the Soviet Union.
Yeah. I was thinking that.
So basically, CCCP was this band, and they played, you know, left-leaning punk music, communist punk music. They were really mad in their performances. I remember I have a colleague who saw them live many, many years ago, because we're talking about the 80s, I believe. And, you know, that was that kind of performances where they would spit on the crowd, or, you know, doing all sort of stunts. Not like Gigi Allen, but
just going to ask, was it similar to Gigi Allen?
I don't think they ever got so mad, but that was the, you know, their thing. And
yeah,
so after CCCP was disbanded, they created CSI, which, by the way, again, it's the acronym also for the sort of union of states that came after the Soviet Union. So they...
Oh, I didn't actually know
but
that.
But they changed the acronym, you know, to make it Independent Musician Consortium. And they just had some of the most talented musicians that ever played in Italy in those years. So when you put up... When you have such talented musicians, it's really hard to make bad recordings, you know, so...
Yeah, you'd actually have to try your best to make a bad recording when you have so many great musicians.
Their bassist is people say, I'm not saying that because I don't really have the knowledge to say that, but people say the bassist of CSI is probably one of the greatest bassists we've ever had in Italy. And I don't think they're wrong, because that bass line, and also, of course, the bass line that they have in many, many other songs, it's something completely unbelievable. So sometimes Italians actually do it better, I guess.
That actually sounds like a great title for an album. We'll take a listen to the soundtrack of your life. So
we're taking a listen to Forma e Sostanza, which translates, I didn't say that, shape and substance. Roughly. Okay.
Right. Okay. I really get what you mean. It is it's another great song, but it has that kind of heaviness as well. You know, within the confines of their genre.
Yeah, it's funny when, you know, sometimes you can see maybe online there are questions like, what is the heaviest music that you listen to? And there's not really an answer, because there's always something more, you know.
Right? Exactly.
It's not that you have to put boundaries on that, because, of course, I mean, we have stupid music genre like porno grind or you know, or brutal death metal that it's just people shouting over shouts and guitars that are not really even played. Don't get me wrong, people who listen to that kind of music, it's just not my thing again. But I listen to black metal sometimes back in when I was younger. So
really?
You have to put things into context. Forma e Sostanza is a really heavy song. And if you say to me, what is the heaviest band that you've ever listened to? I'm guessing Strapping Young Lad, they put out some of the heaviest song that I've ever listened to. But they are not an extreme metal band. Okay, they're kind of in the middle, you know, between extreme and non-extreme metal. But what they did was such a... One of their albums, I think, was called Heavy is a Really Heavy Thing. Now, that's the concept. Like, that's what they did.
Right. Okay. Sounds like an interesting concept. Well, I think that brings us to the end of the interview, so.
Okay.
It was a pleasure having you on.
It's been I had such a great time talking to you. So thank you so much for the invitation.
Hey, what are you guys still doing here? The show is over. It's over. You can go home. Go on. We'll see you next time. We'll be here. Bye.